I'm getting ready to start the session. My demo machine is choking out on me. Think I can get it. I'm going to let it cool for a second. But the demo is pretty complex because I built 3 farms from scratch. Nice thing is I have a white paper written on everything I need, and I make sure that I deliver the scripts and everything. So we will move forward, but I'm going to apologize if my demo dies. Nice thing is, I do have it recorded. I can get you a recording of the session and the actual demo, too, if that fails. I just don't have it on this machine. Didn't think I needed it. I've done the demo like 5 times a day. All right. It looks like we're about time to kick off. I'm going to go ahead and power this thing back up and see what happens. Welcome to Implementing Federated Services in SharePoint 2013. This is also known as cross-farm services. I'm going to explain exactly what I mean over the next couple of slides. That way, for those people who found that you're in the wrong room, you'll still have time to hit that InfoPath session or something, right? How many people went to that one this morning instead of my other session? None of y'all went to the InfoPath session? Oh. Yeah, how many people were even awake at 9 o'clock to hit that session? All right, so my name's Shannon Bray. I am a Microsoft-certified crazy person. Started the certification path a long time ago. You can find me on Twitter, noidentity29. All my contact information is up here. So if you run into any problems, questions, or anything along the lines, or just want to say, hey, that was a really terrible demo, then I'll be there to support you as I read through that. I've got a PowerShell is something that I absolutely adore. I first really started working on it with Gary LaPointe when I wrote the PowerShell 2010 administration book. And then when I went into the Microsoft Certified Master Rotation, we had this topic of federated services as one of our labs. And if you read TechNet, they do a fabulous job of explaining to you the process. But the problem is it takes about 20 minutes or so to follow the steps, copy the files, and get things done that way. If my machine works for me, after I build the farms from scratch and get everything done in like less than 5 minutes. So I'm still hopeful that I'm going to be successful here. And primarily, my goal today is to show you how easy this process is, and then we'll kind of talk about the benefits and stuff as it goes along. Because I have 3 machines with just the bits on them. I'm going to build 2 2013 farms, 1 2010, and then I'm going to show the relationships between 2013 as a parent and in 2010 as a consumer. There's not very many changes, so if anybody's looking for any secret power there, there just aren't any, so I don't have anything too much to share. But I think it is worth kind of seeing the same scripts work. Services are a little different just because 2010 and 2013 have different services. So what we're going to do is we are going to explore the service application architecture. And what I kind of found is it's kind of important to make sure that we're all on the same speed. Service application architecture has been around for a while. In 2010, it was the first time that it was quite different than the 2007 model. So we're going to talk about the terms and concepts of service applications, the concepts of federation, the steps to configure federated services, troubleshooting steps. I'm going to potentially leave a couple things out because as you're trying to do this, you'll probably not do this well. And then I'm also going to show you some of the variations, or it's my plan to kind of show some of the variations on whether you use a service account name or a farm ID or something like that and show you the different behaviors. And then the cross-version support we'll actually be able to demo instead of just talk about. So the service application architecture is basically the same thing as it was in 2010. There's been a couple services that changed. Search, major overhaul there. User profiles have changed. You know, we have now machine translation. They got rid of like the web analytics, but overall the infrastructure of our service applications are identical. In fact, most of the scripts that I wrote in 2010 as a farm person who builds farms, they all still work in the 2013 environment, including my farm build scripts with a couple of small variations of, in case you're doing something with distributed cache or something. Services are supported in SharePoint Foundation, which means they can run in Foundation. It doesn't mean they all work there. Secure Store's a big one, right? Because if you've got Foundation and you go look at the services, you say, oh wow, 2013 finally supports Secure Store, which changes a lot of things architecturally if you're into Foundation. But then when you go try to implement it, it goes, you need to have the enterprise version. So that's kind of a cold joke. And then services can be scaled out. You know, you can add additional services to the farm to offload the search functionalities and things like that. And most important, especially for this conversation, is they're both resilient, redundant, and they can all be federated, which means you can have multiple offerings. And basically, federated services is you have a farm that provides services to other farms. This could apply into the O365 world only if you're doing a hybrid environment where you're still basically on-prem. But this is where if you have search and you want the same search experience for all of your SharePoint farms, whether it's, well, watch my words there. If you want to provide search for everyone in a one manageable place, you can do that and offer it to 2010 and 2013 with, in most cases. Let me just bounce over here real quick. So we can all either share in, I'll even share my screen, share in the joy or the pain of all that is about to happen. I do want to start my farm building process off fairly early. It takes 7.5 minutes. Or you can just watch my demo machine die again. Y'all at least saw it up there for a second, right? Let it cool. Try it again. I can still get it done in time. I still have hope. So some of the terms and the concepts that are important, and the term service applications is kind of a misnomer a little bit, because there's no actual physical piece or logical piece called a service application. It is everything that you see here, the services, the service machine instance, the service application proxy, consumer, proxy groups, and so on. So the actual service of a service application is the actual code that is running on the server itself. And it can be on just one box, or you can have it redundant and resilient on multiple boxes. But then you have, so the service is the actual binaries. And the service machine instance is the actual instance of it that's running. The service application is like a combination of all of that that you interact with. And the service consumer is primarily the person who is actually going to utilize that as a service. And there's a couple things that inside that service application architecture, we also have automatic services. Does anybody know what the automatic services are? Yes, sir. Yes, and how many are there? Two. And which ones are they? The STS? Uh-huh. Yep, perfect. So just in case you didn't hear it, so the load balancer and the STS are the two automatic services that no matter what happens in a farm, those are created. Let me hit the power button again, see what happens. Ha-ha, this is when I start building my farm. Ta-da! All right. So we're going to kind of move towards the concepts a little bit of federation. And this was one of the best pieces of documentation that I had found that kind of explains it in the overall. So in Farm A, right, we may have a number of services, the user profile, manage metadata, search, BCS, Secure Store are the five that are going to apply to both 2010 and 2013. 2013 also adds the machine translation, and 2010 had one that was just dropped off and forgotten about. So when we create our service applications, we then publish it. And I like to publish mine through the UI because it kind of helps the demo a little bit, but it's fairly simple. You see the service, you hit to publish on it, and then it's consumable. And then you have all of these other farms that are able to operate with it. So the concepts of federation. So you have services that support federation. We just went through that list. You have to have a farm-level trust. And that's one of the things that are going to be made available in the scripts that I have that I'll share with you, is that you have to take the farm ID of one farm, and it has to be trusted on the other. And so basically, we'll get the farm ID. We have a PowerShell script that just does a little copy item, brings it over, makes things simple, because then another script will actually import it. So it takes down some of the things that you really have to know and just puts it into a simpler process. The most important thing, and the things that people end up getting tripped up on, is the service application permissions, because each one, even though it's now been federated out to be used, there has to be some permissions given to those services so that you can interact with them. And that can be done by a user account, that can be done by the farm account, or that can be done by the farm ID itself. And that's one of the cool things about the demo. And in some cases, it also has to have different directions of domain level trust, where when you're dealing with the user profile service, it is the most needy in that case. All right. Now, we're going to see if I can log in. Logging in is working. What's that? Yeah. Let's pour a can of soda on top of it. Doesn't feel any hotter than normal. All right. It's not going to be as smooth and clean because I don't have all these images already in the remote desktop and stuff. But here we go. Here's my farm. I have five. I have AD, two SharePoint 2013 bits, 2010, and then SQL. So I am just going to immediately just come off into the first one and go ahead and get that farm build running. I'll open up remote desktop and stuff here in a second once that gets underway. I'm basically hoping that I can get to it before it shuts down again. We'll see how that works. That would be about the best time. On Thursday, if I had this session and it happened, then I wouldn't have to see anybody the next day, right? But now I've got a couple more days to be like, that's the guy with the blown demo. Yeah. Yeah, it always lives on in Twitter. Just for full disclosure, my password is password. It's the way I roll. I guess while that's going, I'm going to go ahead and just get to the second one too. Because we've all seen people log in before, right? See it crawl. It's like, what? You want me to do what? Yeah, spin up two VMs at once. Yeah, and I only have one snapshot, and that's only the the beginning of my demo, so I tried not to do that. But I wanted to be able to run through and revert back. But it ran great this morning. I mean, I'm sure y'all hear that all the time, right? Yeah. Let's see what some of my talking points are. All right, so we're watching that go. Let's talk about the steps that we're going to actually take, and I'm going to string a couple of demos together. So we, after we build the farms, which now I kind of wished I had them built already, we're going to create the publishing certificate. This is all done in PowerShell, and it's the only way that it can be done. There's no way to do this through the UI. We're going to create the consumer certificates. Same ballpark. Yes, sir. They are specific to the farm. It uses the STS. And the root certificate is the trust relationships there. And then we're going to exchange them. It went black. And then import the certificates on both farms, configure the trust with the farm ID, publish the services, and then we're going to be able to consume the services. Let me see if I have screenshots I can pull up. No. Content deployment is actually taking content and migrating. It's basically a copy-paste maneuver over. And if there's anything that's different in the destination that was different than the source, oftentimes it'll break. Okay, we're going to see if we can go to screenshots here. And then we'll also be able to take a look at the actual scripts. Now, one of the things that we kind of talked about a little bit is the differences between 2010 and 2013. It's basically the difference in the one service, the machine translation service, has been the added to there. But the 2010 farm that consumes also a 2013 search and a 2013 user profile service has the 2010 experience. It doesn't get all of the cool features of that. So while you're able to use that farm to offer those services, it's not like there's not a whole lot of benefit there outside of that. One more time, I'm going to try. What's that? Yeah, well, it's because all the binaries and stuff are still over there that it's trying to use, so it doesn't have all the latest and greatest. I definitely think it's time for a new laptop. I wish this would have done this last week. Although I would have been cursing then too. Well, it is a touch screen, but I had to turn it off because it hyper clicks itself. So What's that? Haunted? Oh, it might be haunted. Maybe upset. This is probably karma coming back to bite me. All right, so I got my VM up. I'm going to actually see if I can't get a build going. And at least we always got the white paper. Somebody asked me the other day, why'd you write a white paper? Well, you never know what you need to pull out sometimes. So. ISE. I know what it is. Everybody just wanted to see a train wreck, right? Everybody loves to watch a good train wreck every once in a while. When you start out with, hey, you know, my machine's not working and the demo may not work, everybody's like, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go to NASCAR, watch another train wreck. I was going to need something. Oh, it died. All right, I'm just going to show the scripts. I'm going to talk about them. They're already available for you to download along with the white paper and the deck. But I'm just going to kind of walk you through what each of them are, just so that if there's any gotchas. And as you guys are going through it or whatever, feel free to email me or whatever. I'll also make sure that I gave the demo last year at SPC, so it's recorded and it was successful. So with some of the changes in the 2013-2010, it's at least a complete run through of those scripts. Let me fire up those scripts. Let me see if didn't actually test to see if this guy has internet on it. May not. Okay, see what I have on that drive. Surely gonna bite is like after this, it's all gonna just work. All right, so let me switch to, there we go. Wow, there's a huge resolution area. Switching from screen to screen. So in the white paper, you know, we kind of cover some of the talking points that we have on the services, the service architecture. And I try to go into this one that I just brought up is for 2010. The new one is 2013 specifically. Right now I'm just grasping at straws trying to make sure I put something up on the screen. But then we kind of talk about the key concepts, and I explain the service machine instance, service application. But then the beauty of it goes into, and one thing I also kind of covered here in the paper. So there's three ways to create your services, right? We have PowerShell, which is the way we should go. You also have the ability to use central administration with the new button and in picking that service. And then your third one is with the farm configuration wizard, which should only be used in demo and development environments. What's that? Oh, yes, unless you go to an InfoPath session. Did they do that there? All right. Yeah, we've all seen how the demo's working. All right, so inside here, I actually have the PowerShell for it to create a number of user accounts to an Active Directory, because this script is basically built to walk you through binaries on the server to a complete solution. And then this is the farm build script. I'm actually going to get into the federation pieces of it. And I apologize for the visual here. I was expecting a little better performance on my demo. These are still service applications. So on these service applications, I create them just as normal. There's nothing fancy there. A consumer environment, configuring the certificates. Here's where everything gets the technical aspects of it. So this particular script, I'm actually going off and creating the SharePoint services root cert, and I'm putting it on the C drive in a known location because I like to swap certs around. There's one cert that comes from the enterprise farm, and then there's two certs that are actually going to come from the consumer farm. The consumer farm is pretty much the same thing. We're going to take the root, and then we're going to take the STS. Both going to stick those in a known spot. And then I have, we'll swap those certs so that everything is in one location. Typically, at the same time where I swap these certs, I also grab the farm ID. But then the PowerShell to bring in the publisher cert is basically here. And what this is doing is it's just establishing a trust. So with the other farm on the application load balancer service, one of those automated services, this is basically giving the farm level permissions on that particular service. Oh, yes. That's a great question. And basically, we're just putting it inside the. You just do it one time for that central administration because it takes those certs and it brings it up into central administration and it forms that trust. You do it once per farm. Yes. 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 Well, one's the root, just the common root cert for the server, and the other one is from STS. And then the STS ones are the ones that actually form the communication with between the two farms. What's the differences of the certs that are involved? Now, when we're publishing it, and I have a pretty good screenshot here, and we'll just kind of talk about the gotchas. When you publish it, you have the opportunity to, in most cases, publish HTTP or HTTPS. I don't know of a good reason to just do the HTTP because all of the configurations and stuff are natural anyway. You don't have to do anything extra. These service applications are going to communicate over port 324. 32843, 32844, for the most part. And once you hit the publishing aspect, it will give you a URL, a big long URL that you can take, bring it to the other farm, and paste it in. That's going to identify only that one service that's consumable. One thing that you can do besides that is if you go straight with an HTTP, the address of the topology service, which is typically the name of the server, and then port 32843 or 32844, and it goes straight to the topology service, you can see a directory of all of the services that are available. You highlight it, you click next, and then you might think you're done. Now, the gotchas are, you're going to also see the permissions button next to the publish. You have two choices to do there. You can either take the farm ID, which is a fairly long GUID, and you can put it up in the permissions. By doing that, you can identify a specific farm with trust. So in the demo, I had two farm IDs. I had one from the 2010, one from the consuming 2013, and in order to use the farm IDs, I would have to put them both in the permissions. Now, with the way I built my farm, all of the accounts are using the SP farm account because I'm using a single AD with three farms. Additionally, all I would have to do, or not additionally, but an alternative method would be if I just put the SP farm account up there as trust, then it would trust all of those consumers who use that account. One's a little bit more granular if you had multiple farms. One allows you to kind of, you know, cherry pick who's actually going to be consuming those farms. And typically, those are the gotchas that when you establish that. This screenshot's not so great. Let me see if I got it's a PDF so it doesn't expand. But we'll see the URN here, that's the typical one that you see. And if you copy that entire thing over, you're only going to get an address to a specific service. The HTTP that you can use is basically this last line. It doesn't highlight. Wait, let me hit allow. And then here are some of the options that you get to see as of the ones that are available after they've been published. Now, one of the things that I kind of wish they would have done a little better is if you wanted to go after multiple services at once, that you could select multiple ones, but that's not the way that interface works. You click it, you highlight it, you click OK. You have to go back in and do that. Now, you have a couple different options when you're connecting. If you just hit the connect button, just straight out hit it, you get to pretty much select the services that you want if you use that HTTP service address to the topology. But if you go in and say connect, manage metadata, and then you just put that HTTP, it kind of filters it out. So depending on how you click, you might get different responses. But I do highlight that here as well as you're going through it. So you hit connect, got the manage metadata service, and then you put the URL here inside this text box of the publishing service that you want to use. So troubleshooting, the manage metadata one is the one I like to demo because it's the simplest one to test. If you get it to work, the other ones will work, unless you have to do some domain level trust in a user profile service. But when you click on the manage metadata and you get this big white information error, you know then that, all right, it's set up to be as a consumer, but I don't have my permissions. So then either take the farm ID or the SP farm account of the other farm, which in this case is the same, and then it would resolve. And here is here's an example of what that farm ID of another farm would look like, the big long blue. And with the managed metadata, you go in there, you set the permissions that you want, and then you're able to use it just as it was in the new one. Yes? What I need... Okay. All right, yeah, let's give it a shot. Yeah. Somebody with my scripts. Sure, okay. You don't mean to run all these scripts on your laptop? Let me switch my HDMI cable here. Do you have an HDMI cable back here? I'm just going to start plugging stuff in, right? I'm feeling adventurous today. My computer just died again. I just heard it die. It's like, you're cheating on me. Fine. All right. So, the automatic services, right? We have the application discovery and load balance service right here. It's kind of brave you setting up your central admin. You know, I can be looking at it going, man, this is terrible. I was joking. And you're like, that's not near as terrible as your demo. So, and then we have our security token service here at the bottom too. And these, there's no interfaces to them. If you click them, there's they don't really do anything. Now, you said that you had the PowerShell scripts. Nice. You gotta love the color coding. Oh, and they're numbered too. Yes, just the way I like them. And that's another great point. These scripts that you have, they are numbered that I upload, so that you know the order to actually do things. So this is the one that actually creates the managed account. Okay, create enterprise services. There's nothing fancy here in the enterprise services. This is the same thing that you might get off of one of your favorite MVP blogs or. So creating an enterprise service, this is nice and color-coded. So we take our root cert. We use the Get SP Certificate Authority, which then grabs that cert, and then we just export it. And the same thing is going to hold true for our next one, which is on the other farm, which, do you have it? Yep, there you go. Thank you. So then we're exporting that root and then also the STS. The nice thing here is the thing that I feel like saves a bunch of time. It's just a simple concept of just grabbing the files, dragging them over. This, now you know where exactly they are, and so our scripts will just work. Odd thing, though, I found, and I don't know why, I was going to go figure it out, but after I put SP1 on my box, you would think that of all these scripts, they would all, some of them might break. This is the one that broke. And it broke that I had to actually put copy item instead of just putting the folder path. I had to put the full file path. I don't know if it had anything to do with SP1. All I'm saying is I put SP1 on my box and my script broke. So if that happens to you and it starts, you know, if this script breaks, just go put the full path. I will know later, well, once I get a new machine, if it's related to SP1 or not, which doesn't make sense that it would be. Publisher. All right, and we import the publisher certs. These are pretty tough to see just in the on the view that we have here. This is where we do get the farm ID, though, and I end up passing that around. All right, I'm just going to open it up to questions. I appreciate everybody watching my train wreck go down. Yes, ma'am.
So, first farm still has been established for a long time.
Yes. Oh, let me show you where that's stored, too, so that to continue your other question. No, just build a normal farm. Hopefully it's a normal good farm, because some scripts are better than others, right? But you don't really have to do anything there. But the thing with the user profile service is that it requires direct database access. That's where you have to have, that's why you have to have that domain full trust going both ways. Yes. Yeah, now if it's in the DMZ, if there's separation, if it's considered a WAN environment, user profile service is no longer supported in a WAN environment over 2013. Where it was in 2010, they just recommended not to, but because of the distance between that and it's a direct relationship with the database, Microsoft is no longer supporting that scenario. She's like, man, that's what I came here for. So that has to be in the same area. Yep. Yep. Two-way trust. Okay. And where those certificates get created, we'll go borrow the central administration here. When we go into security, manage trusts, these scripts will create, if you're just doing the 2013 farm, there'll just be one edition here. If you do the 2010, 2013 one, you'll see two. I mean, there it goes. Ho! You got some stuff in there. All right, so this is where this would be, you would see them. Now, there's a guy here called Local. Wow. There's a guy here called Local. You do not want to delete him, ever. There's a PowerShell script that will kind of help get it back, but it'll take you hours to find. It'll probably be faster to email me because I have it somewhere, because I've done that, and it's difficult. But, you know, when you're playing around, and you're just like, yeah, I got this whole trust thing working out, I'm pulling things out, and you delete the wrong one, that's bad. You need that guy there. Yes? No. These are all internal SharePoint certificates. In fact, the commandlets are SharePoint commandlets that actually do it. So it is from the SharePoint STS, one of the automatic services, to cert. It is generated from there. So you don't need to have all the domain CAs and things. Yes, sir? No. Yeah, they don't expire. Yes? Yes. Yeah, I was going to show you a 2013 farm with a publisher, and a 2013 consumer, and a 2010 consumer, to show A, that the scripts work for both, but B, that some of the services are available and some of them aren't, and that's basically the machine translation one. But other than that, everything is pretty much the same, because they really hadn't changed the core infrastructure there. Yes, that's correct. And all the rules still apply. On the publishing and the consuming rules and stuff like that. So as you're trying that, if you get stuck, let me know. Yes? Uh-huh. I don't know. I'll have to go see if I can figure that one out, just because I'm trying to think of where the limitations would be. It may not. It may work fine, as long as you can trust it, but I can build that out and let you know. Get my card, and we'll see, because I don't know the answer. I'd love to figure it out. I've not had to do that environment. Yeah, the question was, he wanted to know, since it worked in cross-domain, if the same thing would work across multiple forests. And I can't think of a reason why it wouldn't, but I have to actually test it to see. Yes, sir? Okay. Yes. Right. You won't get any additional benefits to your 2010 farm. Even though you're consuming those services, you get the 2010 binaries of those services. So search and UPS, UPA are going to work identical to the way they worked in 2010. So if you're looking to expand, you know, because with enterprise search, it's basically fast and enterprise all merged together, and it's a better experience. Yeah, you don't get that in that consumer. There's no benefit. Now, right, and then as you come up, as you build another 2013 farm that's consuming it, they will have those benefits. Now, you can still create, if you're looking for search, though, you can have a search center in your 2013 farm, right? Have it crawl everything, and then you're going to have the full power. So there's still ways to make it work. And if you do have a 2010, then you want to upgrade the parent, the one that's providing all of those services first. So, any other questions? Yes, sir. So you've got FAST in your 2010 farm, and you're going to have a 2013 producer, right? And you want to know if you can use that in your 2010 farm? Yeah, but you're not going to get any added benefits. FAST itself isn't a federated service, so it would still be installed there. Enterprise Search would be federated. So I understand at one point, I think FAST is kind of federated in its own thing, right, with the way you have to create it. So it's not really listed as one of those there. Any other questions? Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, great question. So the automatic load balancing that happens for the service application is basically just round robin. So as your machine joins, as you have those service machine instances that fire up, right, they go to the topology service and they say, hey, I'm here. So it puts them in a list. And every 15 minutes, it repulls that to make sure that communication's there. If not, it'll pull it out. But basically, with every request, it'll say, okay, you go to machine A, you go to machine B, you go to machine C, and it'll just keep doing that. So technically, it's not load balancing. It's more of a round robin, very much like NLB. Black box. You don't have to do anything with it. Great question. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, his question was, he was asking about how the... Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah, you cannot use 2010 as a parent to a 2013 farm. It has to be the other way around. Yeah. Absolutely. Any other questions? All right, well, thank you for suffering through this with me. I apologize for the demo. I wish it would really worked out, but you guys have a fantastic rest of your conference.